Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hi, Petty Bitches. Welcome to Petty Little Things. This is Davina Devine.
And this is Victorian Secret.
And we are coming to you remotely from, we're in international waters. Yeah. I am representing the good people of the Emerald Isle in Ireland. And Victoria is over there with...
I'm in Wales at the moment.
In the valleys.
Yeah, in the valleys. And like, international waters, you're not the strongest swimmer. I'm a bit nervous right now.
It's okay. I have one of those things that Ramona Singer uses to float in the pool. You know one of them?
What are they called? Floaties, is it?
No, you know, like the tube that floats? She holds onto them. She kicks her legs.
She's lying. She's using a breastplate at the moment. She's staying afloat with a breastplate.
Oh, my God. Imagine like you're on a plane. The plane crashed and you were like, put on your life jackets now and you had a breastplate. Like, big, huge, like, although some of them are like weighed with silicone, you'd probably sink.
Yeah, you would.
But some of them are stuffed with cotton, which actually are quite buoyant. So,
well, come here, listen. Have you been in a swimming pool in drag? I can't remember.
No, but I've been in the sea in drag.
Yes,
which is probably a bit more dangerous.
That is more dangerous. You, me, Shirley Bader, we all got in the sea out in Fire Island in full drag, and did a splashing around photo shoot.
Oh, girls gone wild, hot girls summer. It was actually really fun, but I just remember I just said, oh my God, my tan is coming off. It's like it was rubbing on the sand. It was like exfoliating me as I was in the water.
I look back at that time and I was like, at the time I thought I was gorgeous, and now those photos could be used to troll me. Like, I was a witch. Like,
yeah, no, I actually don't mind those photographs. Thank God they aged well for me. I'm not so bad. I thought I was like CJ Parker from Baywatch coming out to sea.
Oh my God. And like, literally, like, we all committed that. That was the only thing. That was a good
thing. You know what the funniest thing was? So, tights in sand is just the funniest. Like, you just, I think Shirley wore tights in. No, she didn't. She wore a long dress.
Because
there was talk of wearing tights. And you can't wear tights in sand. Like, it's absolutely disgusting. Like, imagine the feet of the tights. Like, be like a sieve. Like, the sand would be going through onto your little toesies. Oh, just gross.
But at the time, I was still wearing boobs that were made of rice in tights. Like, so I remember they got
it's
wet.
It's dangerous. It's like danger drag.
Yeah, they got wet, though. And I just remember being freaked because we were actually, like, going out and drag that night as well. And I was like, these rice titties are going to stink from the sea. Like,
do you remember? Sometimes I think it did happen in Fire Island as well, when if we were away, like in say Gran Canaria, and it was really hot, they'd start to boil in the bag as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So you'd have like semi-boiled titties.
Kind of smelled nice though, do you know what I mean? You'd nearly be wanting to get a fork and be like,
throw a few peas in and make it a dish.
That's actually what I ate last night, was rice, but there was no
rice
peas.
And peas.
Yeah, no, just rice. And like, oh God, it was gorge, but it was like freezing chicken katsu. Oh, lovely.
Oh, chicken katsu. Well, of course, Victoria is over in Wales, and Pride has just happened here, so we're doing this remotely today.
Yeah.
So we're over the Zoom. So if there's any sound issues, take it up with the HR department. Yeah, we're not interested.
Let's start with Pride. Okay. So, firstly, I was looking at you thinking, how is she? Because you went to the George, you had a little day gig that day as well. And I was like, if I was at home right now, I think I'd be in bed, because it was a long, long week.
It was a long, long week, but I have to say, I did a gig for a company on Friday night, the last one of the day, which was we did a lot of gigs last week. And I was thinking to myself, oh God, how am I going to get through this? But they were such a great crowd.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. They just snapped me out of the conundrum, you know? So after that was done, I was kind of like, oh, that was actually really fun. So then I decided there and then I was like, I'm going to get all my shit together, put everything away, clean all my brushes, make life feel like normal again. So when I woke up on Saturday, I was ready.
Okay.
I was ready to almost a clean slate. Whereas that time last year, I was dead. I was dead.
Yeah.
So it was nice to just feel a little bit alive again.
I had a little cry when my last virtual gig was ever. a proper cry. And I was kind of a bit shook as well. And I text you, I'd say about 3-4 hours later, because I hadn't heard from you. And I was like, are you okay? Because I was thinking, if I'm crying, what way is she at the moment? You're like,
no.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't talk. Just no talking.
Yeah, it was just, I was all talked out on, I think it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. It was I did 7 back to back. And at the end of it, I was just, my throat was in bits. I was, it was actually just, and it was minute to minute, hour to hour. So you'd be lucky if you had 4 or 5 minutes. And then do you remember on Thursday, we had a gig together and there was a little issue. So yes. I was gearing up to go into one of the hours with Victoria and we're again, remotely, I get a text. Oh God, I could feel when I got the message, I said, oh God, I could feel the sinking feeling because I'd been there.
Yeah.
Victoria had double booked herself at two different places.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I'll just handle it.
Yeah. And then
I said you had technical problems. And then you outed me and said, oh, I'm so sorry that never happened. And I was like, fuck, I was actually lying for you.
I told the truth in an email straight after. To be fair to the company, they were absolutely brilliant. And Davina obviously slayed it. But what you didn't know what was happening at the same time was, so the Zoom was on my Zoom account, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I had also booked the other one through my Zoom account too, using them both. Now, maybe these big fancy companies, you can have a couple of Zooms at the same time. Mm-hmm. But honey, I am not paying that money to have two Zooms at the same time. So I had started the Zoom for you. Meanwhile, I went to start my own thinking, oh, that's grand. Everything's okay. And it was like, if you start this Zoom, you're going to end the other Zoom. And I just kept thinking, Davina,
that's all I needed.
Davina will murder me if I cut her off right now. So I had to, I had to tell a little lie.
I'm sorry, the tech isn't working.
I was like, my Zoom keeps crashing. I here's a link to a Teams invite. Come join me over here. And I just sat on Teams like this, waiting for people to come in, going, please show up, please show up, please show up. And they did, thank God.
Oh, hilarious. Like the trial, we were only talking about this just before we start recording, that we've had so many instances over our virtual experience that we're going to have to dedicate more time, because there's been some really funny things that people don't know have been going on behind the scenes. But we'll come back to that another day. Because 100%. we need to let the PTSD settle before we go back to it.
We're survivors. I'm starting a virtual events survivors group after all this.
I think we should, and it would just be me and you as the members.
Come here. I had real FOMO though, because I was looking and I could see that you were in the George on Pride Saturday. What was Dublin like on Pride Saturday? Tell me.
Of course the streets were wild. Mm-hmm. It was mental. Mm-hmm. The George was nice because it was controlled and it was you had a little bit of space. And I realized, I was like, I can't be dealing with those crowds. And it's just not for me.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why people why you'd want to stand around in that mental crowd, regardless of COVID or even at Pride, when we go to Pride, we go in, we do our thing, we get out.
Yeah.
I need a bit of space. I need a bit of comfort. I want to sit down. I want to be able to chat. I don't want to be fucking pulled out of left, right and center. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just, it's not appealing to me.
Yeah.
Although maybe, I suppose it's probably about people have to cruise and a little bit of a thing.
Yeah,
maybe. Might go for them. But yeah, the streets were mental. And there's lots of videos going around of like, did you see that video about the Gardaí? Like there was something going on in St. William Street.
Yeah.
And this little woman Gardaí, she's like really small, blonde Gardaí. Mm-hmm. And she was like slapping drinks out of people's hands. Well, right. I shared that on Facebook or on Instagram yesterday. And somebody said she was around Cable Street on Pride as well. And she was slapping drinks out of people's hands.
Oh my
like,
God.
It's mental.
Oh
my you know, God. And it's, I know it's, everyone, the anger in the streets and in the air is just, it's mad. Like, yeah.
I watched that video and I thought, okay, right, listen, I know the guards are actually trying to keep some peace at the moment when it's a bit wild on the street, but also it just made me think, where's the training here? Like, where is...
But also, the thing, and that's what I like with that old, loads of people said, you know, you should try being a guard, Davina, for a day or whatever. And I'm like, firstly, I don't want to be a guard. That's not what... I'm not signed up to be a guard. So that's
well, those trousers would look disgusting on you for a start.
Like, imagine real severe crease down the front.
Yeah.
Like, very 1940s style.
The waistcoat, though, imagine your dits and them, like, your dits would look gorgeous in that waistcoat. Like, so I could see that, but maybe with a hot band version of the short of the trousers. Yeah.
And a gilet. But like the one thing that people are forgetting is that like there's been, people have had lots of bad experiences with the guards.
Yeah.
Like, and I've seen it with my own eyes. Do you know, like, of course there's good guards. It's like in any organization, there's good and there's bad. Mm-hmm. But it's getting to this weird, because it's they have no, the legislation, the rules, the regulations, it's all getting blurry and the waters are getting murky. Yeah. And what their power is, isn't clear. People are, you know, it's, we're, what is going on? Like, it's such a strange energy in the air.
I don't know. And like, let's face it, in the video I saw, it wasn't just her. There was a couple of very thick fellas there as well who were guards too. And I was like, lads, come on. Like, do you know what I mean? There's ways to speak to people. There's ways to like handle crowds. And that's not it. Do you know what I mean? What was going on there? I don't know the full story, but I have
to say.
And
that's the thing. Like, that's
I was
the thing.
Shocked though.
Yeah, and it, there's always things like that. And I think when they see the cameras, they start getting defensive because they're like, you're going to put this up online. And I'm not being sorry, but they should be allowed to be filmed.
Yeah.
Like, they are working for the state.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be doing something dodgy, like, you shouldn't be doing it because you actually are working for the state. So it's a really weird situation. And the anger and the I'm sure they're frustrated as well. They're not really well looked after, like, financially. And you know all this, like,
right.
like, they put up with a lot of crap.
They do.
So I can understand the frustration, but it's like, it feels like there's no control. There's no, in like, it's just mental at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine you as a guard, though, if the cameras came out, you'd just start lashing on the lip gloss. You'd be like, oh, hold on 1 second. Just gloss up these lips.
The bean guardy.
Oh, stop. Here, my lips keep... Okay, bleeding to those who are listening does not mean actual blood. It means like smudging out of the corners.
And oh.
I think it's because I haven't had them filled since like last October. So they're just, I think I've got my old itty bitty lips back.
No, like the lipstick is bleeding.
Like it just keeps coming out this like side corner, just like bleeding out. And I'm going, maybe there's just no lip to stop it.
Powder it. Powder it. I bet you it's not powdered enough. Powder the corner of the lip and then draw on with the pencil.
Okay, see, that's why you were the original Mac girl.
Yeah, lots of powder on the lip, powder and then draw the pencil on. Like foundation's not so great because foundation's emollient based. And
okay.
Yeah, so the powder will just keep it dry.
Well, anyway, I'm actually thankful. We are doing 2 shows a day here. And when I first got here, I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Because we had just done... Mm-hmm. Like so many virtual shows, like so many virtual shows. It's really nice being back on stage. However, the rules, girl, the rules of like last night, thankfully in Birmingham, they were allowed to cheer, but like Manchester.
So they haven't been allowed to cheer.
Not in Manchester, no, because it was some girl's birthday. So like I'm getting into the shows, like I'm having a ball with some of the people. And I was like, okay, we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Well, I've never seen a manager run across a room quick enough to be like, make them stop, please, make them stop. Because like they could be shut down. So like it's very real. That's what they're dealing with. But like, so yeah, it's like everyone's getting their fucking degrees again. So it's like Davina Devine graduating with honours degree. And then you step up on stage and everyone goes, clap, 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 clap.
God, it's just so depressing. Like, just before we got on the call today, like there's a lot of talk here now about the indoor dining being postponed again.
Yeah.
And of course, all this usual chitter chatter before there's actually an announcement. So people are riled up and raged. Mm-hmm. The same thing, like, I'm done, I have to say. Yeah. I am done. I realized after today, with all these restrictions, like, people would want to be dropping dead in the streets for the way they're behaving, the way the restrictions, listening to Nemfit constantly, and just like, who's running this country? Who is running this country? And it's like, there's not enough people in hospitals or ICU. The cases aren't strong enough. And I'm fucking sick and like not having an opinion about it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like society and everything is moving except for me. I feel like we're the only people that have not been allowed to go back to work. Like, there are people literally, like, you know, doing the most useless jobs that are back in there doing things like, and we cannot work. There's no element to my job that we can actually do.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? I feel so, so annoyed. And people saying, well, you know, it's the rules and regulations. If it, if you're waking up out of your bed and going to the end of your bed and turning on your computer and your life hasn't really changed, then you sit the fuck down and don't be fucking talking, because my life's been turned upside fucking down in the last 15 months and I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
I am done playing by the rules. I'm done staying home so granny can be safe. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. You've got all you have out of me and I am fucking raging now. I'm sorry to go on a rant.
No, no, you're fine. Like, come here, listen. And like, to those listening at home, like, it's been a year and a half, so like, you're not only speaking out of frustration, you're emotionally drained. Do you know what I mean?
I'm drained
from, like, literally the world has completely turned and you're not able to see an end in sight, and that's where that's coming from. Like, it's there is no end in sight right now where we're like, okay, we're going to be back to our regular jobs, and a job that both of us have worked on for a long, long time.
This is not like my sideline where it's like, you know, I'm working in a call center during the day and I'm doing a bit of this, or like, this has been my full-time career that I've invested like my whole life into.
Yeah.
And to have that pulled from under you, every event that you do, you can't actually do. You can't, like, it's just, that feeling of like that sinking feeling that just isn't going away is like, it has me up the walls.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's enough now. I've had enough playing. I play by the rules. We've pivoted. We've made things work. We've turned fucking, you know, cotton into silk many fucking times over this. And I'm done. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
This is not fair. It's unjust and it's not fair. And yeah, so I know people probably listen to this going on ranting, but it's like, it's been really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say is I'm seeing like the girls in like America and they're getting back to work now because, you know, there's like the vaccination program has really flown over there. However, like before, like the week before going to the UK, I was really trying to get a vaccination. It is opened for my age. And the bit where, I know we don't really want to talk too much about COVID. The bit I was a little bit confused about was like, I was ringing the HSC going, I'm about to go to the UK. I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. I am the age that is now allowed to be vaccinated. I would preferably like to go with one vaccination already done, considering how many cases of the variant there are over in the UK. So, and they were like, literally, like, nobody was able to help me. Nobody. Not one thing. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't. I'm saying I want to before I go to a place that is having a lot of, you know, issues with the variant. And actually, that's a positive thing, right? And my age group's open. But anyway, I think we should stop ranting about that. What I will tell you is,
it's just very draining. Like, and even before we got on this call, because I was so triggered by like things that I'm just seeing, because again, all these announcements are coming out and it's just like, it's affecting my whole mood. And it's like, there's no escape from it. Even when you're like, I'm not going to watch the news because it's just bringing you down. And you can't get away from it.
No.
It's like, it's at every turn.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you wear heels all day on Saturday?
I did.
Were you standing much?
No, I was sitting a lot of the time.
Okay.
And they were brand new Gorge heels as well. So that was actually quite okay. They were.
Because I can tell you, my feet are at the point now where they're not really fitting into my shoe. Because they're so swollen from not wearing like a high heel in so long.
Well, we've been wearing slippers pretty much at home. Like, and not the Cinderella kind, like proper slippers. I've invested in a few. I was showing you there on cam. I was like, I bought these new pair of shoes. So I've like literally got gorgeous heels ready to go.
Yeah.
And I've been buying these since like April and May, because I'm like, oh, you know, opening is coming. No, it's still not coming. It's July. The summer's going to be over. And now people are saying we're going to be back in lockdown for September. Like, I'll tell you this now, if that's the case, say goodbye to my wooden floors, because I'm going to be walking them to bits with my new heels. They're going to get it.
No, I think you should go to Australia, hun.
Oh, do you know what? It's looking likely at this fucking point in the game.
I know, yeah.
And you know how I feel about Australia.
Yeah. Peaches Queen, make room on your couch. Come here, we need to talk about Britney. Because
yes, it's Britney Bitch.
It is Britney Bitch.
1, 2, 3, hashtag free Britney.
Yeah. Oh, like,
yeah, so, what bombshell story?
I mean, it's what everyone was suspecting, right? So it's not exactly like, oh my God, but then when you hear it actually being said, and especially some of the things like the IUD in her arm and the fact that she's not allowed to get married, and like, she's been with that guy for a long time as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a little bit fucked, no?
There is, but you know, the other thing about, like, the, of course it's terrible what's going on, that she's no control and nobody's reached out to help her, or like, that's the part that I find terrifying. It's like that someone who's such a big star, such a living, like, so publicly, it's like, how is this constantly happening throughout history? It's like these people are kind of almost like shells of the former self, like Princess Diana, like, you know, Britney, Michael Jackson, all these big massive celebs basically can't live their life. Do you know, like, they're they're totally hunted by the media, and now of course with all this legal stuff, it's just nuts.
Yeah, totally, really nuts. Like, it's slightly heartbreaking. You can tell how frustrated she was. Like, she literally said, "Mom, I came in and read all this to you before, and you let me."
Where is the mother?
I don't know.
What's going on there? And what's the story with the sister? Like, so I know the dad has been painted out to be this big monster. Mm-hmm. And to be, from what I read, like, he seems like an absolute tyrant. But where is the mother? Wrote a book years ago about having a relationship and being like a mother-daughter book years ago. Mm-hmm. It was like a New York Times bestseller. So I'm sorry, that book needs to be taken off the shelves, because if she's letting her daughter go through that, what is going? Where is Lynn Spears?
Yeah. And why aren't they really speaking? Part of me wonders, is it because they're on the payroll? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The other thing about, like, there has to be a fine line, and that's the thing as well, like, with mental illness or things like that. And I've had friends that definitely have suffered, like, mental health episodes where, you know, you see somebody is like kind of like normal 1 minute, and then all of a sudden you see them deteriorating rapidly. And it's like, where is that moment when things go back to how they were? And speaking from my experience, I've had two good friends in particular that have never, like, they had mental health issues, and they have never gone back to how they were ever.
Like, bounced back completely.
Yeah. And one in particular has struggled with similar issues, very similar to Britney, bipolar, kind of that kind of, you know, that vibe. And that person in particular kind of relishes in the mental illness, doesn't want to get better. Do you know the kind of way? Okay. Which is really sad to see, because it's like everybody just wants that person back. But that person is almost like, you kind of grieve for that person. And obviously, like, mental health is such a you know, delicate topic and a delicate thing, because it's just becoming more and more prevalent. Many more people are suffering from it. And then I have another friend who just, like, is just gone, you know, there's just like, he's never going to be the same again. And that's really sad as well. So you have that fear of, like, you know, that I see kind of where the conservatorship, the general care part comes from, but that's just been handled really, really bad in that case.
Okay. So you mean it started with potentially good intentions and has turned into this monster?
Well, like, do you remember, like, back in the day, like, when we were reading that blow by blow on Perez Hilton, when she was going through all, and she was cruising around in the Mercedes with Sam Lufty and all back in the day. And we were literally saying to each other, we were having conversations saying, this is just not going to end well.
No.
It was just, you could see she needed help and nobody was intervening, and she had the run of everything. So, of course, somebody had to step in, and everyone was delighted when, you know, things kind of did calm down.
Yeah.
But this is outrageous.
Outrageous.
Like, you know, like, people have to be given the opportunity to prove themselves that they are better, because people do get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, like, should one person, like, really ever have that much power over somebody like that? Do you know what I mean? Because it really does feel like he is steering the ship. I hope something happens. I don't know what will happen, but it sounds like it's a bloody slow process. And I'm sure, imagine how frustrated she is. Like, we're frustrated. Imagine how frustrated she is.
Yeah, I'd say though, with all the media attention and the pressure, and I think being able to actually get her voice out there, things will have to, like, there's going to have to be some kind of action taken. There has to be.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I'm on team Britney. I think she deserves the opportunity to even try, even on a temporary basis, just to be, like, you know, free.
Yeah.
She deserves that. She deserves the opportunity. Everyone does.
Yeah. Like when I heard that they were sending her to a very public place to get therapy and that she was coming out clearly emotional.
But like, where do they think that's going to end? Mm-hmm. That's going to break someone down bit by bit, where it's like, what do they want? Do they want her to like...
On lithium, you know, apparently. Insane stuff. Insane. So anyway, it's something we're all obviously going to keep a close eye on.
Mm-hmm. What? Yes. What else I've been obsessed with is there has been a Sky documentary that came out called Murder at the Cottage.
Ooh.
You know, I love a crime documentary, mm-hmm. like a real story. I love getting my Jessica Fletcher on and having a little snoop. So it's about Sophie Tuscan Duplantier, who died in Ireland. Do you remember back in 1996?
Okay.
It was all big. You probably don't remember that case. I was obsessed with like crimes back when I was a kid. So yeah. So it was, she's basically bludgeoned to death in the laneway of her house. But the house is so remote. It's in the middle of like nowhere in West Cork. So film director Jim Sheridan, he done this Sky documentary. Jim Sheridan, who also directed In the Name of the Father.
Your starring role.
Yes, my starring role.
Are you on IMDb as the kid from In the Name of the Father?
Yeah, that's a kid in brown coat.
Yeah. Were you in a Spice Girls video as well?
No, that would have been the dream, but
It was filmed near you though, was it?
No, it was Stony Batter. They did Stony Batter and Wicklow.
Oh.
It was kind of like the house is kind of where I grew up as a kid, but it wasn't. It was just the look. But yeah, so this documentary they had, it was supposed to be like a four part. It was over 4 weeks. And then I only found out last week that Netflix is bringing out a documentary this week on Wednesday. It's actually out, this is Thursday, so it would have been out yesterday.
Okay.
They've released it. So obviously they crammed. Sky wanted to get theirs out first. Mm-hmm. So they did two episodes per week. So they finished their episode last Sunday. So the new Netflix one is coming out. So it's all about basically the man that was accused, Ian Bailey, and about kind of going through all the witness statements and what was seen and just trying to kind of piece it together. It's very interesting.
Okay, love
that. And then you kind of have to come out with your own concept at the end of it.
Conclusion.
Right? Yeah. And yeah, so the Netflix one is supposed to be slightly different though, because the Netflix one, Ian Bailey is taking action, trying to get interviews taken out of it. So So I was left kind of thinking from the Sky one, maybe that he didn't do it, because there was no evidence. Like the evidence is just really murky. And and then in this one, apparently people are saying that it looks like he does do it. So I don't know. So I'm dying to see the Netflix one, but we'll wait and see.
Okay, love that. Well, I went back to the cinema, and just because the cinemas are open does not mean the movie's going to be good, because hell, that Hitman's Body's Wife's, whatever it's called.
The mob something?
I don't know. It was something like that. Anyway, Jesus, it was awful. 2 hours of just, I mean, thankfully the popcorn was really good, so that was something. little snack, you know? But the film was terrible. I thought I'd never get out of there.
I went back to see Nobody. That movie was that? Last week. That was actually really good. Mm. I quite like a hardcore violent movie.
Me too. I love seeing people get shit kicked out of them.
I think that's just like the COVID frustration in me. It's just like you want to see someone getting tumped. But it was actually kind of good, because it was that kind of reminded you like Quentin Tarantino style, like violence, like OTT violence, but in a kind of cinematic way. It was kind of interesting. And Christopher Lloyd is in, who played Uncle Fester.
Oh, so and, he has and this kind of Back to the Future.
Comedy. Yeah, so he has this weird kind of comedy edge, and he's really old now. And it's, I don't know.
Would you?
Oh my God, no. He's like in his 90s or something. it's been a long lockdown. But there was this weird pay system in the cinema where you go and you have to, like, if you're ordering popcorn or whatever, you have to order at the machine and then you go pick it up and blah. And I'm going to just call it. It was Cinema in Rat Minds.
Okay.
I was like, it was really badly marked, and like, you have to go over here, about three people saying, you go over here, you pick it up. I was like, me and my friend were like, what is this? This is making sense. So I went, ordered it, bought the food, bought the drinks, whatever. And then I went up. I said, I just picked my thing. They're like, oh, you need the receipt. And I was like, where's the fucking receipt? So I went back to the machine, the receipt's gone. Next thing, this man and woman, they were like, oh, is this your receipt? They're going to take my food.
No.
Oh, well, I snatched it out of their hand quick as day. Thank you. When you're like, thank you.
That's my favorite cinema. And the reason is there's rarely
no one. Yeah, a kid. It's very quiet.
No kids, though. No teenagers. Like, you just don't see them. Maybe they just don't live around that area. I have no idea. So that's my favorite one to go to.
Yeah. No, it is. And it was grand. And it was nice to just get out of the house. But again, I think it's going to take a while before the movies bounce back. And also, sorry, while we're talking about this, concert tickets.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? So, like, currently, I'm waiting to see the Pussycat Dolls. Yeah. I'm waiting to see Steps. And I'm waiting to see Celine Dion.
Okay.
All of which are just
in limbo.
They seem to be on like perpetual
hiatus.
You know, reschedule.
Yeah.
So what is going to happen there? What's the story?
Mean, just call me out, Davina, right? Just call me out.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you've been living that life as well. But if I get one more message from Ticketmaster saying, your gig has been rescheduled, I'm just like, oh, here, do you know what? Like, Celine Dion should be dust and bones by the time, well, not that she's already skin and bone, but she's going to be dust and bones by the time I get to see her. And then the Pussycat Dolls will be like in their 80s. So what's going on?
Kavir, I want to know something, because you were talking about like fellas and like being out of lockdown and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, when you finally have that first kiss after a long lockdown, how do you think it's going to be? It's going to be very romantic.
How do you know I haven't had it?
Because I would have heard about it.
No, you wouldn't.
Secret of Sally.
Oh no, like, it's going to be very special, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you know, in...
You've only
like
done blowies in the lockdown. You haven't kissed anyone.
Yeah, no kissing on the mouth, like Vivian Ward from Pretty Woman. No kissing on the mouth. No, I don't know. God knows. Like, that's the least of my concerns at the moment. I just want, what's that song? It's that Shirley Bass song. Let me live. Let me live. This is my life. Let me live.
Oh my God. Okay, so there's no great romance novel about to play, no, then, to be the
definitely
same.
Definitely not. Like, it's not going to be like the scene in Pocahontas where John Smith and Pocahontas go through the weeping willow and then it's all mood flies. But no, none of that.
Well, give me a wetter of the week. Then someone that caught your eye over the last week. I want a wetter.
Someone who is wetter of the week. Who is always a wetter of the week is Danny Cipriani. Do you know who he is?
Oh, what does he do?
Danny Cipriani he used to play rugby for England. He used to go out with Kelly Brook. He went out with Katie Price.
Yes.
Do you know him?
Yeah. Have we only picked rugby people so far?
I don't know. They just seem to come into my psyche. I just write people's names down as they come into my psyche. So I have a little list of people. They're not, some of them are reality stars, and it's just by chance he was coming out to me. Like, he's just popping out on the list. But he had this weird kind of, like, you know, he was one of these kind of love rats. And, you know, I'm always drawn to love rats. Yeah. Do you know why? And
do you like, because you're a woman who likes danger.
It's true. Danger Mouse.
Lady Jane Danger, we're talking about the lipstick Lady from Mac. Danger.
Yeah, an orangey red. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he put up this big thing where he's like a changed man now. He's got married. And but I always just think with people like that, I was like, I don't think they ever really change.
I'd like to think so, because I mean, God help whoever's with them next. But like, yeah, I think, what is it? Like, once a cheat, always a cheat. Is that what they say?
Yeah, once a cheater, always a cheater. But I always just think like I just can't see people really changing. And they always say, like, you know, a leopard never changes their spots. And I just don't know. I don't know. I'm just from what I've seen in the past, I wouldn't be hopeful.
Yeah. Do you know what we could all do with, though, listeners, is after a long Pride Month, send us a few of your own wetzers into our DMs. We always want to see a good wetzer.
Do you know what actually is the whole point of Wetter of the Week? Is that actually, like, kind of like realer people, or people that aren't big celebs, or people that we can give, like, you know, give out their hashtags on Instagram, or people that are actually just like local Wetters of the Week.
Yeah, like
support local.
Martin, what's your name? Martin from Virgin Media One. What's his name?
Martin King.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Martin King. Yeah. Yeah. No, like, so, you know, anyone that even fancies himself as a Wetter of the Week, let us know. Just give us an at on DM us on Instagram at Petty Little Things Pod, and like someone who has maybe like a minimal following that we could kind of just be like, we'll have a little stalk.
Mm-hmm. Davina's basically pushing to see all the pictures of your cross of your personal trainers. That's what she's hoping for here. So send her those.
That. Yeah.
Right. Let's pause for a quick Petty promotional moment, because over on our Patreon, which is basically our members site, we've got like a private members site, which sounds very raunchy.
A members, a Ruby Lounge.
Oh, come into the Ruby Lounge. Okay. So over there at the moment, we've a brand new video that's available. It is our Gogglebox ripoff show called Dragglebox, where we are watching another flashback video that's just a decade old that I spoke to drag journalist Blunnard McGee, and Davina's in the background of both the video at the time, Slagging Me, and the video of us watching Slagging Me. It's basically 28 minutes of Davina reading me to filth, and I'm not going to lie, we had a very good time filming it, and I think you'll really enjoy it as well. We've got a Patreon member of the month, though.
We do. We have a very special Patreon member of the month, and it's going out this week all the way to Bray, County Wicklow, the gorgeous Aisling Flynn. She used to be Miss Bray back in 1987, I think it was.
Yes.
So... no, I'm only joking. It wasn't. It was in the 90s, I think. But Aisling, you are our petty patron of the week. So thanks for all the support. And of course, we did have our last patron pride event there during June. Now, I know it was obviously people were going to outdoor dining, so the numbers weren't great, but it was summertime. So we just wanted to put on a little something and have a little bit of fun. But we're going to be doing more. Yeah, and we're going to be doing more little live events. So thanks everyone that did come and support and have a bit of fun, because they are actually just a little bit wild. And we get... as they say in Scary Movie, we got Buck Wild in the jacuzzi.
But a reminder to all our straight listeners, any straight listeners who don't subscribe to our Patreon, this being Pride Month, if you don't subscribe, that is what we like to call homophobia.
Yes. And all homophobes will be prosecuted. So, yeah. So do support us. If you haven't signed up to our Patreon, there's lots of really fun things and lots of fun events and all that. And there is prize payment plans for every budget. So do check it out.
Oh, my God. Not you, Kerry Katona. Fast cash for fast ladies.
Cashlady.co.uk.
We have a budget for everyone.
We've all got money troubles.
Money troubles. Oh, I love that ad. I'm going to watch that on YouTube straight after this. Okay, so we do have a very special interview coming up. It is basically the last of our Pride content related. And we actually spoke to this person, I'm going to say, close to 3 or 4 months ago, right?
Just feels like that. It wasn't actually that long ago. But it is a very educational talk. It's all about kind of the beginnings of Pride and Pride history and LGBT plus history. So it's quite interesting. And we learned a lot that we didn't know. So check it out. We have Dr. Patrick McDonough coming up
after this little jingle. Bing bong, bing bong.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by a doctor. We have a doctor in the house. We have the gorgeous Mr. Dr. Patrick McDonough is here, going to be educating us on everything all about gay activism in Ireland and the history. So thank you, doctor. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks a million. It's great. I feel like a celebrity being invited on to this particular podcast.
So. I don't think you're on the right podcast.
Well, I mean, we're mostly here because both our mothers want us to marry a doctor. So yeah. You might think this, this is like first dates, but virtual. And you get two for the price.
Well, you actually just got married, didn't you?
I did. Last September in Denmark. Yeah.
Oh, it's been to cut him off now.
Yeah, congratulations.
Cut him off now.
You went to Denmark.
Denmark, yeah. Oh, literally just met it the day before they banned people coming from Ireland. So yeah, it's a bit Mexican stressful trying to get there. But yeah, it was lovely.
At least you got it done before. I think trying to get married in a pandemic, I think, is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like,
and it wouldn't be a gay wedding if there wasn't something coming down the line of like trying to ban something, you know what I mean?
Drama.
So I mean, you had the drama, you had the moment, and congratulations. Show us the ring. I mean, nobody at home can see. Oh, it's stunning.
Very glam.
Stunning. That's definitely from the Katie Price collection, isn't it? Come here. Firstly, what's it like being called a doctor? I mean, like, I've often wondered, because we're called so many things in our walk of life.
Never a doctor.
Never a doctor.
Well, I mean, I obviously use it a lot just because I think it looks cool, but you know, my day job, nobody gives a shit about it, to be honest.
And tell us, how did you get your doctorate? Tell us about your degree and tell us what you've done, your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, I would have moved to Dublin in 2011 to start a master's in UCD. And after that, really what I wanted to do was to go into teaching. So I had my two subjects, history and German. And to do the teaching course, you had to get a school that you could train in. But unfortunately, I contacted 70 schools and none of them were interested in my subjects, which were German and history.
Okay.
I said German was just no-go. So then I had to kind of rethink what we were going to do. Yeah. And then I saw this PhD opportunity in Florence. So I said, why not?
Very glam. Florence.
We know her. Yeah. Oh, she's a good time, Florence is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I applied and then it just kind of everything went from there. Then I got accepted. I got a nice scholarship. And
what was that in Florence? What were you doing? What were you studying over there?
History. So I did my proposal, which was on the history of gay and lesbian activism in Ireland. And then, they liked the idea of it. So I was invited to interview. And the rest is history.
Patrick, how do you feel about drag queens changing the word history to herstory? I'm just curious. It's a stupid question, but it's become one of those little drag slang words now. Mm. Would you be fully versed in herstory?
Yeah, you see it in academia as well. It's becoming a lot more common. Again, just really to highlight, I suppose, that women and others were certainly part of this history because it is so male dominated. Mm. So I think the more of it I see, the better.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. Well, Doctor, we've some serious questions for you. I mean, hold tight there via Zoom. Listen, we're coming up to the second Pride that looks like it's going to be virtual again. Yeah. And we got through the first one. It's such an important time of year for everyone, especially for those outside of Dublin who maybe don't walk among their streets to see people just like them or have supporting people around them. And it looks like it's potentially going to be virtual again.
Yeah.
We kind of know about some of the roots of Pride in Ireland, but to be honest, we need a proper educated doctor like yourself to talk us through a bit more. And we know that you've done a lot of research. So tell us about, Pride and where it kind of came about in Ireland.
Yeah, so it really goes back to the start of the gay rights movement, which I suppose in Ireland you can probably date it to 1974 with the establishment of the Irish gay rights movement. And as it happened in, I think it was June 27th, 1974, a Norwegian group, in fact, dedicated gay pride to Ireland that particular year. So as part of that, a number of individuals, there was only 12 at the time, David Norris was one of them, Geoffrey Dudgeon was another. They walked the Department of Justice and the British Embassy, and they had a small little demo. And really, I suppose we can say that was the first kind of gay pride demonstration in Ireland. And they carried these wonderful banners, one which was homosexuals are revolting. The other was gay love is good, lesbian love is great. And then it's a few more years, then we go to 1979, and really that's the start of gay pride in Ireland. Now, a march or a parade doesn't take place. There's a week-long event. So in 1979, they had a release of pink balloons on Grafton Street. But one of the events which were quite popular before gay pride march in 1983 was pub zaps. And I think they were quite brave, the individuals that took part in these pub zaps. So really what they were trying to do was they would go around to a number of different pubs in Dublin, and they'd wear as much gay pride stuff. They'd have badges, pink carnation.
Yeah.
And they were trying to see how many places they would be served and how many places they would be kicked out of.
Wow.
For the majority of the cases, they were kicked out. I remember in 1982, I think they maybe went to 15 places and at least 8 or 9 kicked them out.
That is shocking. That's shocking. Yeah. To be honest, I've never heard that before. That's part of the reason I think why we wanted to have you on, because I think a lot of people, that's really fresh information that a lot of people wouldn't know, and that's basic kind of
history and Irish history about our community,
and it's boots on the ground as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's like.
Yeah. And just in case anyone who is listening doesn't know, obviously homosexuality was illegal in Ireland at that time, so they could easily throw you out. And there was nothing you could really do about it, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere, not even just for the gay community, but young women, the rights just weren't there for, we say, people who didn't conform to societal norms at that stage. And they used to also, before the marches, they used to also take to the streets leafleting in Dublin, and they'd have their pink carnations. And there's some a wonderful collection of photos, which hopefully the National Library will be releasing soon, just of people handing out those leaflets, and you can just see the reaction of people. Some are kind of like, what's this all about?
Yeah.
But you'd see some as well who are actually quite engaged. And I remember as well down in Cork in 1981, as part of their Gay Pride celebrations, a number of individuals from what was then known as the Cork Irish Gay Rights Movement, they climbed to the top of the Cumrah Mountains in Waterford, and they erected a pink triangle at the top. Yeah. And this went into the Irish Times, and one particular reader was absolutely horrified, and she thought it was really insensitive and an act of vandalism. But you know, there were some quite brave people to go to the top of those mountains, put up that pink triangle.
God, that's all fascinating. I think like that's why the community, I think, need to know those kind of literal like things that happened like for
because I mean, even in my time like taking part in the Pride Parade, like I mean, my first year I was very nervous. I'm definitely was nervous. I was walking along and everyone else seemed very like chilled. I had only just come out, but I mean, I was still welcomed on the streets. Do you know that kind of way? I didn't come up against any issues. Whereas this time, obviously, was very different.
Very different. Like you were saying, that was back in like, so that would have been like the 70s, like 82, around that time.
So, they started these Gay Pride Week celebrations, they called them, in 1979. They continued until probably about 1985. But 1983, I suppose, is a defining moment in Irish queer history, because that's really when there's the first proper, shall we say, protest. They call it a protest march rather than a gay pride parade. So just, I suppose, to symbolise the particular context of that particular event, because it followed on from the Fairview Park protest march. Mm-hmm. And for those who aren't familiar, in September 1982, a gay man called Declan Flynn was murdered effectively in Fairview Park. He was queer bashed by five youths who openly admitted that they went to Fairview Park to queer bash, was the term they used. And shockingly, the judge decided that this couldn't be seen as a murder, and they were found guilty of manslaughter and given suspended sentence. And that sent a massive shock across the gay community.
Outrageous. Really, really. That, like, it, even when you hear that now, it's so shocking now. Mm-hmm. But like at the time, just the kind of it says a lot about the kind of the way people thought and the way people related to the gay community. Like it's very hard to believe, and I think probably a lot of maybe younger people listening to this will be like,
yeah,
it's beyond comprehension, you know.
Yeah, I posted about the Declan Flynn murder last year at Pride, and so many people didn't know about it at all. And it's such a huge part of our gay history here. So that kind of surprised me. But I've never followed up to see if anything happened regarding that case, like in like 10 years later or 20 years later. Did anything happen ever with those individuals ever after that? No.
No, and I know, I think one of them certainly got in trouble again later on with the law. But again, it was just the context of that time, because the same year that Declan Flynn was brutally killed, there was another gay man, Charles Self, which many might be familiar with. He was murdered in his home. And to this day, they haven't found who was responsible for his murder. But what was shocking about that one as well was the police investigation into it. I've heard anecdotally that about 1,500 gay men were questioned in relation to that particular killing.
That was that was a murder out in, I think it was near Sea Point, wasn't it? Was that one?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, he worked at RTE at the time. And, you know, a lot of those gay men who were questioned were outed to their family, friends and colleagues. And I was talking to one individual there last week about it, and he was saying how many immigrated because they weren't ready to be outed to their family. And then a few months after that, then you had the Garda Representative Association, the General Secretary of the Garda Representative Association, blaming gay rights activists and pro-abortionists for the rise in crime. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking this is in the context of the brutal killing of Charles Self, and then later on in the year, Declan Flynn. So there was really, the gay community were really up against it at that time, you know, and they really had to fend for themselves. And really, that's why Fairview Park, the protest march was organised, really just to say, listen, enough is enough. We're not going to sit back here and, you know, put up with this sort of violence.
Very brave. Very brave.
Oh, yeah, massively so. I mean, at the time, estimates were that 400 to 1,000 people, Mark, depending on who you organised. And they went from Liberty Hall all the way to Fairview Park. And again, that was quite, even going to Fairview Park was quite brave, because I think a few days earlier, those who were released had organised a celebratory kind of event in Fairview, because of course they had been released.
Yeah.
So the ones, you know, they were celebrating their release.
Really,
so to go into Fairview Park and to say, listen, stop violence against gay men and women was extremely brave at that time.
And I think, like, one of the things, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, I think, is because you have got that knowledge and you've done the research and kind of gone back. And I often think about, you know, like, we have, as you were saying, like, back to a certain point, and there's, like, so much you could go. But it, I think about now, even as you're talking, I think about what kind of had gone on before this. Because, you know, like, even in the UK, for example, like, they have queer history back into the 20s. And we don't seem to really have that in Ireland. And it just makes me think, as we're talking, just about things that didn't go reported, things that didn't, you know, make the cut or whatever, you know, like, that has gone on, like, probably some atrocities.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that I'm particularly interested in, but the problem is you can't get into the archives to see these, is around aversion or conversion therapy.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think a lot of that probably did happen in Ireland, yeah. But because of the nature of the material, they're closed off for 100 years. And one thing that surprised me, I came across this letter to Out magazine. So Out was a magazine published in between 1984 to 1988. It was a gay magazine. Mm-hmm. And one individual sent in a very short letter to the magazine saying that he had just come out to his mother, and his mother had went to the doctor and she wanted him to go through conversion therapy. And he actually said that there was a price. It was something like £2,000 at the time, but that the doctor was 100% confident that he could be cured.
Wow.
And the mother told him that, you know, this is what, while it would have bankrupted her, that this is what his father would have wanted.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot of those kind of stories that did happen, but because of the nature of the sources, as historians, anyways, we can't get in. And I wanted to do a postdoc on that, but I couldn't get into the sources because I feel that there are those
there
stories.
Has to be. There has to be. Like, and you know, Ireland is renowned for a shady past. You know, there's a lot of things that were brushed under the carpet, and I think something like that. But I think being in a minority of, you know, a minority group that was already kind of living, you know, low key, you know, so many things must have gone on. Like, must have.
Yeah, well, there was a doctor in 1973. He was working in UCD at the time, and he called on the government to, instead of sending homosexuals to jail, he said that they should send them to hospital because he was convinced he could cure them. So you're just wondering what sort of cure he was going to do. And that's in 1973. It's not all that long ago.
That's crazy. Like,
and that letter was written in 1985 sometime. So, you know, even into the late 1980s, somebody was charging to convert or cure gay men, and it's been very isolated.
And I think it is important, though, even like that wasn't that long ago, and I think people need to kind of keep that in mind, because I think it's so easy now to kind of like, I still think we've a long way to go. I think things aren't rosy, and you know, we're not, everything's not like, you know what I mean, like, it's not perfect, but there's we've come so far in such a small space of time. But I think it's so important to know these things and to know the history because it's not that long ago,
and things can go backwards. Look what happened in the US so recently, like, when so many of their legislation went backwards because of who was leading the country. And that potential has the same potential across the world, I think, too. Just to bring it back to Pride, because obviously they marched to Fairview Park. I hadn't heard whether there was any obstruction along the way, or whether there was any issues, or did it successfully happen, and were people supportive? Because obviously not just gay people must have been outraged by the outcome by the judge. Other people must have been too.
Yeah, they did get a lot of support. Again, it was probably from more progressive groups. So this, again, has taken place in the context of the anti-amendment campaign, which, again, was part of introducing a constitutional ban to make abortion illegal. And a lot of the gay groups would have been supportive of the anti-amendment campaign. So when they organised the Fairview Park protest march, a lot of the groups involved with the anti-amendment campaign come out in support of the organisers, which was the Dublin Gay Collective, National Gay Federation, the Cork Gay Collective. You also have the likes of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, which was very supportive as well. And in particular, some of the trade unions and one of the biggest supporters was the Union of Students in Ireland, and they often don't get a lot of recognition for being one of the very first groups to actually pass a motion supporting gay rights. Yeah. So as I said, I mean, depending on who you asked, about 400 to 1,000 people did march to Fairview Park. There were speeches, and I mean, it was massive, a massive news event. So you can go to any of the papers at that time and you see photos and we say comments from those who took part. So it did attract an awful lot of media attention, mm-hmm. and has been described as Ireland's Stonewall event, and rightly so in many respects, because it did really bring people to the streets. And I read some oral interviews with individuals, and one individual struck me. He said, you know, he would never have marched before. It wouldn't have been something he did, but he just felt that this was such an important thing to be seen to be marching on, and he decided that he was going to march in that particular event.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was a case for a lot of others, because there wouldn't have been so many overtly involved in politics at that time in the gay rights organisation. So even if we take 400 marched, mm-hmm. that's a massive amount. Yeah. I think maybe the first gay pride in London only had something like 700. So when you look at that context, 400 is huge for Ireland.
Right. I think it's a real statement to march as well. It is like, you know, it's being out and proud to absolutely everyone in a time that maybe it wasn't welcomed by everyone. I'm curious.
And I think as well, I think even association, I think, you know, because it was like allies now.
Yeah.
It was, you know, people were afraid to be seen to be supporting, because even if they weren't gay themselves, you know, like that would have been an issue, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look back at this period, there were very few openly speaking out in support of gay rights. It just wasn't, so for most part, politicians just weren't interested, you know, they just wanted to ignore the issue. So when you had the likes of the USI, ICCL, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions actually coming out in support, it was a massive event. And I would imagine it provided a lot of encouragement to activists as well, saying, listen, our messaging is working. Some people are coming out to support us. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that it took a lot of courage for those organisations to be associated with that march. And it's important to say as well that it was also to do with women as well, because those women would have felt that their bodily autonomy was under attack as well at that time, and again, rightly so with the Eighth Amendment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a particularly difficult time for women as well.
I was curious what part of the Hirschfield Centre, which is something that I've heard mentioned a lot, but I'm not actually over familiar with the Hirschfield Centre and what was going on. Tell me whatever you know, I suppose.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, it's such a shame it's still not there. When you walk down into Fine Street and Temple Bar, like, you can still see the outline of the building. So it opened in 1979, and I suppose it really kept going until 1987, and it had everything when you think about it. Obviously, it was the headquarters for the National Gay Federation, which was, I suppose, the main organisation at that time, set up in 1979 by David Norris and others. But, you know, we had a gay cinema in there from 1979 to 1986, you know, the likes of, I think, the Harvey Milk documentary premiered at the Hirschfield Centre. It had a telephone support service, Telefriend, which was a very important line, particularly for those who were isolated. They could
lifeline, I'd say.
Yeah, and talk to people who were similar to them. There was a group called Liberation for Irish Lesbians who were there, and discos. They called the disco Flickers, and that was extremely important. It was the Dutch word for faggot, but I remember the Irish Times described it as the best disco in Ireland, because they had the most up-to-date records.
Well, the gays are always on top of the tunes, aren't they? Always. Like, that's across the board.
Yeah, and that was coming from London and New York, so there'd be people going back and forth, and they'd be bringing the songs, and they'd be playing them. So it had a really good reputation for top quality music.
Mm-hmm. And was that... Obviously, it's in Temple Bar. It's right in the centre of the city centre. And people must have known what the building represented. I mean, how did that sit in Ireland at the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the interesting contradictions about Irish history and Irish society more generally. You know, it did have quite a public, there was a lot of people who knew about it. I mean, in 1981, RTE actually did a short 10-minute documentary on the Hirschfeld Centre. And
I think I've seen that.
People dancing. I mean, its opening was covered by all the national mainstream publications. So it would have had quite a high reputation. And again, they wouldn't have been trying to hide it. You know, the National Gay Federation publicly advertised it as a gay centre. So if you pick up the likes of Hot Press or In Dublin for the 1980s, you see the Hirschfeld Centre in flickers in the advertisements. But I've no doubt now, I haven't come across many incidents. But I'm sure it did have some people who were... weren't overly happy about. I mean, it was burnt down in 1985, which many believe was done deliberately. But again, if you look back at any person you went to, it was just a really great place.
And can I ask, like, the Hirschfeld Centre would have been like really like synonymous with Dublin and like, you know, the gay community, I suppose, would have like centralised around there. But have you come across anything that was similar to that was outside Dublin, or anything that was, you know, because I know even now there's still kind of rural groups and things like that, but have you had anything that was similar maybe elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, so Cork had a pretty active gay community and gay scene and gay activism in the 1980s. So in 1977, they opened up what was known as the Phoenix Club in McCurtain Street, and that ran until 1986 and would have been similar to the Hirschfeld Centre. It had discos every Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, a telephone befriending service. You also had the Key Co-op. Now, slightly different, it would, you know, it had a gay bookstore and a number of other things. But in terms of something similar to Hirschfeld Centre, the Phoenix Club in McCurtain Street, which was set up by the Irish Gay Rights Movement, was popular. But you'd also see, like, in Galway as well, what was interesting is a lot of people were organising socials in hotels.
Oh yeah.
So you'd have, I remember one as well in Clonmel, which I thought was quite funny, and. So they booked it under this anonymous name, and they used to have these meetings quite regularly, and one individual would come along with a box of merchandise. So these would be the likes of dildos and other sex ties. This is in the late 1980s in Clonmel, so you know, there was
very progressive.
Okay, we're going to just cut that there, guys. So if you want to hear more from the lovely Dr. Patrick McDonough, you can head over to our Patreon and find out more and be educated over there a little bit more.
So, he's a doctor.
Doctor in the house. Oh. Yes, check that out.
She's going to be a doctor's wife.
But in the meantime, here is our favorite time of the week. It is...
Rotter of the Week on Petty Little Things.
Right, Davina, I'm ready to get rotted. I have so much to get off my chest. And honestly, I think also I'm excited to see your facial reaction to both of these.
Okay, okay. Just call her Rotzilla. It's Rotzilla, Rotzilla, Rotzilla.
Okay, shall I kick it off?
Yes, let's do.
Okay, my first rotter of the week is, okay, people on aeroplanes not 2 minutes up into the air, and they need to go for a piss straight away.
Okay.
Bitch, we have been in the airport for almost 2 hours before that flight took off. Why? And then, like, if you're the person on the aisle seat, by the way, which I'm fond of an aisle seat, then everyone has to go up, let you go for a piss, and then you have to come back 2 minutes later. Also, bear in mind, my flight was 25 minutes. 25 fucking minutes, and I'd say, like, half the plane went for a piss in that 25 minutes. What are you all drinking?
I have to say, what is the story with people with those tiny bladders? So, like, seriously, just like, I could honestly, maybe it's something to do with tucking, because I think, like, we have mastered the art of, like, being able to hold piss for ages. We can literally hold it in for hours. Now, that being said, when it has to go, we have to go.
Okay, okay, well, like, firstly, we are good at holding piss in general. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you know, we can hold
and
our
you know
piss.
That term, she can't hold her own piss. Oh, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
We can.
Have you ever wet yourself in drag, though?
Never.
Okay, I've had a little bit of pee just because, like, okay, there's this thing where you're walking up the steps to the dressing room of the George, but it's four flights, and it's like as soon as one
it's
heel...
It's actually six flights.
Okay, six. But as soon as one heel touches that step for me, and I've been holding my pee for hours and hours and hours, it's almost like emergency pee feels. It goes like, it's like your body knows it's about to come. So I start to move faster and faster and faster, and then I have six pairs of tights on. So to get them off with nails and to try and not, you know, cut yourself with your nails too, like I've definitely pissed myself a little bit, for sure.
Absolutely. And there's definitely been times, I think, over the years, with, like, lacerated balls.
Hasn't there? I mean, like, listen, if you're wearing those coffin nails, good luck to you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Good luck.
You should come with a safety warning. Absolutely. Like, sharp objects in here.
But, like, come on. Why do they need to pee after 2 minutes? It's almost as if they're going in for a nose. Like, can they rub any of the hand soap? What is going on?
I have no idea. Maybe they're going for a sneaky cigarette.
a little vape.
A little vape, serial vapists. Okay, so my one of my first Riders of the Week is, and you did remind me about this because it came up last week, and you said write that down, and I didn't write it down, but it did stay in my head because I was thinking about it a lot, is that over the years, you know, when you'd meet people and you're in a social situation with, like, lots of people, and now we met someone last week in a virtual context that brought this back to us.
Oh.
And it would be, how would you say? So you'd be in a group of people and you'd be getting on great with, say there's a group of four boys, four boys, and you're getting on great with everyone. But one of the boys just isn't getting the reaction out of you that they think they should be. Like, they just feel like that, you know, they wouldn't have maybe as much in common with you, and you'd be maybe having more laughs with their friends.
Yes.
And you just wouldn't, sometimes you just don't click with everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no badness. It's just the way it is. You're closer, you prefer this person, you have more in common with that person.
Yeah.
Then and this has happened a few times, this thing comes out, because you're not reacting to them laughing at their jokes or giving them the attention that they feel they need, you get this, why do you hate me?
Yes. Yes.
Why do you hate me? I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Firstly, I don't hate you. Mm-hmm. But now the fact that you're saying that to me makes me kind of go, actually, do I hate you?
I think you might.
It's the neediness that I actually hate. I hate that neediness in someone. Why do you hate me? Because I'm not giving you what you need. Because I'm not giving you the reaction that you need. And this has happened to me throughout the years. It's like, if you don't flourish attention on someone that they feel they deserve.
Yeah.
Also, I'm like, why do you even care what I think? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about it that deep. It doesn't go that deep for me. But anyone that's like so needy to be like, why do you hate me? Even though I'm treating you exactly the same as I would be your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, it's making me kind of go, what is wrong with you? Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's face facts. If you did hate them,
I wouldn't be talking to them at all.
No, they'd know all about it. They'd know all about it.
So the fact that, like, I'm still there and present is like, anyone that I hate, I have no time for. I just don't engage with whatsoever. As Meredith Marks say, I'm disengaging. I'm disengaging. So if I don't engage with you, it's probably because I hate you.
Girl, I nearly gagged yesterday. You were after giving me a flashback. So I was sitting, like, about to start painting my face, and Jackie Cox, who's on this tour, came out from the dressing room in a Brooks Marks tracksuit.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Toe. Brooks, hilarious. Oh, my God. Drag or out of drag?
Out of drag.
Oh, wow.
So I got to see it up close, and I'm going to say,
go on.
It doesn't look that expensive.
Like, of course it's not. Hello. It's like, that is like direct from, like, you know, like AliExpress. Of course it is. And then with like a few little logos on. And that's like Meredith's jewelry.
Oh.
Like, come on. Oh. Like, yeah.
Well,
gagged. Because, oh my God, you know, because I was listening to a podcast. Sorry, we're talking about one of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Meredith Marks, and she makes jewelry.
Yeah.
And now her son, who's a member of the LGBT community, he has Brooks Marks tracksuits. And somebody, Meredith has a store in Salt Lake City, like a HQ store, and you can go in and actually see the jewelry. But somebody who, this other podcast I listened to, one of the girls went to the store and she has accessories and things like that. And on the labels, it says made in China. So it's like, it's totally just, that's what all these people do. They buy it in bulk, they change the labels.
Yeah.
and they rip you off. Yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah, you're buying into something that's not real. Like,
yeah.
Very fair. Okay. You ready for this next one?
Yes, because please.
It's been so long since I've been in a hotel that I forgot.
Okay.
Hotel rooms with plug sockets, the complete opposite end of the room to the fucking bed.
Oh, do you know what I mean? Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, I think this is the third or fourth hotel we've stayed in. And like, I got in late last night and I actually wanted to throw something across the room because it's like, my phone is dying. And yeah. I need the power, but also I had people to reply to before going to bed, but I also wanted to be in bed. Like, we're staying in a hotel to relax, hun. We don't need to be standing beside a fucking wall at the same time.
You need to get the power, the battery power packs. You need to get a few of them on the go and actually just keep them in loop. Mm-hmm. See, I watch a lot of The Hotel Inspector and that's always an issue that she's always raising.
Okay.
And also about like having, why would there be one bedstand or one bedside table and not two?
Yeah.
When there's
room for it. Hold on, let me check this room.
Let me see.
Oh no, you're not seeing this room. I've exploded all over it.
Like, that's a very small room.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You've been in my apartment, girl. This is sizable.
This is small. So hang on. Is that the... Sorry, I'm just looking at the picture. I'm going to describe it to you, okay? So,
okay, hold on here. I'll lift up the camera so you can see more.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a double bed
and
a window is right beside the double bed. So the windowsill is right touching the bed. Then there's a sliding door into a bathroom, which looks very... It looks like a wardrobe.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing that's a fucking tiny room.
The only thing I will say is, as Troppy Girls... There's really good air conditioning in the room.
I've watched loads of documentaries about Mount Joy Prison.
Yeah.
There's some cells that are actually bigger than that.
I honestly, because I was in another hotel the night before, and I actually should have sent you photos of that. Actually, we were on the phone, and I remember I was like,
I was like, why are you talking so quiet?
I was like, because the walls are like paper thin. I thought people were going to be able to hear, and we were dishing the goss. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. And that is understandable, especially in a room like that. That is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. My next Roger of the Week is, again, because, like, you know, people are having little soirees and little get-togethers. So I've only had little small get-togethers. But if there is somebody playing music at a party.
Yes.
And the music we're playing, and I'm a chatter at a party. So I love to chat and, like, talk about all sorts and, like, get into it. So I'm not really kind of focused on the music.
Uh-huh.
There's always somebody at the fucking party who'll be like, can I put on a song? And we're like, yeah, like put it on, but put on whatever you want on. Mm-hmm. But then they put on their song, you're going to love this song. Mm. And they always put on some song that's like, shite. You're like, never heard that before. You're like, oh, you know this song, not a fucking word in the song. Just music that are dancing at you. And you're like, oh yeah, this is great. And then you just go back to talking. And then they're like, oh, can I play one of my other songs? I said, you can fucking play all the songs you want. Yeah. Anyone who thinks of the human jukebox at a party, like thinks everyone else wants to listen to your crap lyricless songs at a party, no, you're my rotter.
To add to that, I hate when people put on a song when there's a playlist playing and the music is flowing nicely and they one song on.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And then they'll leave you and they don't put on the next song or a playlist.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're back fucking having to sort out the music.
That's what I mean. And then, of course, in silence, and it stops the conversation. Mm. So it actually is very intrusive. Yeah, so that's my Roar of the Week. So the human jukebox, that's just like an Eddie Rockets table jukebox. It just plays one song and then fucks off for cheese, please. Mm-hmm. They're my Roar of the Week.
Well, before we go, I need to tell you about this plane journey because I got a flashback. The girl beside me, not only was I inconvenienced with pissers, the girl beside me also vomited. She vomited. I got the full experience. Like, I you know when you're sitting there.
Was she
there,
right beside you?
Right beside me. And you know when you're sitting there and, like, you're kind of not, you're zoning out from whatever's going on around you.
Yeah.
And I just heard her whisper to the air hostess, could I get a sick bag, please? And I was like, no, not this. And then the woman said, well, there's actually an empty row behind you. Would you like to, like, move into that? And then she goes, no, I'm okay, thanks. And I was like, you get in there and have your vomit behind me, not beside me.
Why didn't you move?
Oh, I actually didn't think about that. Probably the nose of me. Do you know what I mean? I was dying to see if she actually would get sick.
And like, I want to know, did she blow chunks or was it just liquids?
No, it was just liquid. I think she'd had a heavy night on the drink before.
We can all relate to that.
Yeah, totally. But then to add salt into the wound, someone had clearly decided that they needed the whole plane to sing happy birthday to them because the air hostess got on and started thinking that they were doing a children's holiday camp because they were like, oh, down the back. Oh, 21 again. We're all going to sing happy birthday. And I sat there with a face like a smacked arse going, I'm not singing happy birthday.
You're it's not terrible because especially after the amount of bingo and stuff we've done, like when you hear numbers like 21 keys to the door, 21, you're just like, stop.
Have you had dreams about doing bingo?
I have had dreams that I was calling bingo from the two pool bag chimneys at the top.
Oh,
I was doing pride bingo at the top of the chimneys in Ringsend for a Ringsend community thing. Because obviously, like, I'm the Ringsend Rose.
Yeah.
And they were really unstable. They were like, somebody was like, you know, they were saying they haven't got the long left. So they were basically kind of crumbling as I was like at the top of them. And I was like, geez, these are in bits.
Oh my God.
Like, it was so real. And I was like, up really high, but I remember just having given no fucks about it, like just being like looking down the chimney and everything. It's like, like I would be terrified at the top of that.
Oh my God. Well, Wednesday night, I went to sleep after calling like bingo like 7 times, music bingo, and then the whole night, Davina, I called music bingo my dreams the whole night, and I woke up exhausted. I was like, I can't believe I just worked in my dreams as well.
It's so nuts. And just before we got on this call, we were talking, we have an event coming up this week and we just need to finalize a couple of kind of some things because Victoria's in a different country. So we're going to like figure it out online. And Victoria's like, we need to lay down what we're going to do. And I said, it's okay. I had a dream about it. It came to me in a dream. I swear to God. So I dreamt about the outcome of this gig.
Yeah.
So it's coming to us in our sleep.
Oh my God.
And that's no joke. Like that, we are deadly serious.
Yeah.
We are dreaming about these virtual events. Like, it's absolutely nuts.
It's not even sleep. It's not even sleep. But come here.
It's not.
Speaking of sleep, we should probably wrap this up. I hope that you all enjoyed. I have to say, we loved our chat with the lovely Dr. Patrick. And it was really informative, but also fun as well. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Let us know what you thought of it. But until next time.
Stay petty.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.